Bet on Bears fans, Ryan Poles talking about Caleb Williams, Karan Amageji, Rome Odunze, the entire draft class with an interview with NFL Plus, and we got to talk about it all here because I think that this was some really good insight from RGM on not only why he made the selections, but his expectations of what these young guys could do coming out of college. Got to talk about all that more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears Podcast. And with me, as always, on a Wednesday episode, Jason McKee back in the building, former Chicago Bears fullback. J-Mac, what's going on, my guy?
Man, just enjoying the summer, man. Summer football practice has been in full effect. I've been grinding out there. The kids have been putting in a lot of work, as have all the high school programs in the area. But this week, we get a week off, obviously, the 4th of July. So everybody stay safe out there. Have fun. Enjoy your family. I'm looking forward to it and just been enjoying some time off, man. Getting ready for ready for training camp to kick off, and you know our season will be kicking off as well.
Yeah, there's a lot coming. A lot about the startup. Of course, Chicago Bears training camp. You got your season about to crack. When's the opening day of you guys' season?
Yeah, I think ours is the 30th. So we open up with Grays Lake Central on August.
Ooh, 30th. I might have to pull up for that one. I ain't never liked Grays Lake.
It's a good community. It'll be a good community event just because, you know, the proximity of both schools is really close.
Yeah.
And, you know, their community will be out in full effect. You know, our community will travel. So we play there. It'll be a good inter-community game. So it's going to be fun, man. It's a good way to kick off the season on a Friday night.
Hey, never wrong with it. Friday night football. You got to love it as always, man. But let's jump into some of the stuff that we heard from Ryan Poles in this interview. I thought it was very good hearing from our GM and how he talked about, first off, starting off with Caleb Williams, of course, we know that's where we're going to focus in on early. He praised his pocket awareness, praised his ability to buy time down the field. And a couple of quotes from it. He said, "What you see is it's a big deal. It's pocket awareness in field, the ability to take a drop, climb, move in and out to buy time, but always keeping your eyes downfield. That's critical in this league. It's instinctual. That's the thing that you work on. But this guy has a special given awareness." When you talk about the awareness, it for our previous quarterback, Justin Fields, it was something that he had to kind of develop in his time here. He had to develop the keep your eyes downfield, go through your progressions, don't just take off. And he was making strides towards that. But the fact that Caleb Williams is coming in with that trait, and Ryan Poles already praising it. He's already, boom, pocket away. I need to step up. I need to step to the side. And we saw that a ton last season because he don't want to say it, but I'll say it. The offensive line was not good, right? He didn't want to say it. He didn't want to throw his guys under the bus. But still being able to have the ability to be a big yard player, a big play hunter, but also be able to get those plays underneath. How important is it that Caleb Williams already comes into the league with a really good pocket awareness in college, and how quickly do you think that translates over to the NFL?
Yeah, I think that's a must-have for any quarterback that you're hoping could be that franchise quarterback, or you're hoping that could be the answer to your franchise. You've got to have pocket awareness because in this game, right, no matter, despite how good your offensive line is, protections break down. Defenses, they get creative. They're going to bring pressures. They're going to bring simulated pressures. They're going to bring zone pressures. They're going to bring a lot of things that a young quarterback, pre-snap read, he thinks he sees one thing, and then that ball is snapped, and that whole dynamic of that defense will change, and the pressure may come from a different direction. So when you have things like that happening so fast in an NFL game as it does, you got to have a quarterback that can – like Ryan Poles said, that can manipulate the pocket, right? Have a feel, can understand where that pressure is coming from. But if he doesn't, he can manipulate the pocket step while keeping his eyes downfield, right? Trying to find his weapons. But he also said that he has the ability to do those things, but deliver that ball off platform with velocity and accuracy. And that's what you want, right? That's what you see from Patrick Mahomes, right? How many times have you seen Patrick Mahomes? That pocket breaks down, right? He scrambles or he steps up in the pocket, steps to his right or steps laterally to his left, right, and delivers a ball off platform accurately to one of those wide open receivers downfield. Like, that's the type of playmaking ability that you want from a quarterback standpoint if you want a guy that's going to be your franchise quarterback. And when you don't have that, like a lot of young quarterbacks, when that pressure starts coming or that pocket starts collapsing, what do? They put their head down, right? And then they harness the ball. They start protecting the ball. Well, the play's over, right? The play's over. So if you know, some quarterbacks, you don't have a perfect pocket or the perfect protection called, they can't execute. When you have a guy like a Caleb Williams, right, who's shown you in college, he has that ability to be able to make plays when things aren't, quote unquote, perfect in the pocket or the perfect play call isn't called.
Yeah.
He can still make those plays. I mean, even in an interview, they showed a clip, right, Pat, where it was a bad snap. The ball's rolling on the ground. He picks the ball up, right? He's got pressure in his face. He stands in there, right? He looks the pressure in the eye, throws the ball like 60 yards for a touchdown. Like, those are things that are God-given. Those are traits that he's been blessed with. But he also has the fundamentals, right? He's been coached very well from a quarterback standpoint to be able to keep your eyes downfield. Always have your eyes downfield so that way you can make a play. And then we talk about the arm talent that he has to be able to deliver that ball on schedule with accuracy.
Yeah, I think the thing that there's a couple of things to me that are very under talked about with Caleb Williams as well, right? Mm-hmm. Especially coming in. And we do listen. I got offensive line questions with the Bears, right? The Bears offensive line, PFF ranked them 11th overall. I don't know if I agree with it, right? Maybe as if healthy, they're the 11th best offensive line in the NFL. But I got some questions on that part as well, right? I need to see it on the field. So with offensive line questions, some of the things that I do think are under talked about with what Caleb Williams can bring to this is, number one, he's not small. There's like this belief that he's Bryce Young out there, right? And he's 6'1". He got drafted at 215. He probably at this point, after working out for a while, has gotten up to 220, maybe a little bit more than that, right? And being able to add some muscle on, being able to add some weight on. When I look at Caleb Williams, a guy who's not only going to be able to stand in there, but I think that people thought when we got rid of Justin Fields, you lose that ability of a guy who can, okay, get off of me. You're not just going to throw me around, but also I can use my legs. And I love how Ryan Poles brought out the fact that it reminded him of Patrick Mahomes in that Titans game, right? He doesn't want to run, but if he needs to run, he can get out and make those plays. 27 rushing touchdowns in his college career. He had 11 last season, had 10 the season before, had 6 at Oklahoma. Not a ton of yardage, right? Just under 1,000 yards in those 3 seasons, which means he's picking his spots when he wants to or has to go. But if he has to go, he can. And that's something that when you combine that with the pocket awareness and the passing, right, keeping your eyes downfield, that is what you really want to see from a young quarterback, especially with some offensive line questions on the Bears already.
Yeah, it's about having a feel for the game. And, you know, GM Ryan Poles talked about as well about that as well about Caleb Williams. He has a great feel for the game. You talk about his athleticism, being able to run, being able to extend plays, right? Having that situational awareness, understanding when to run, right, and when not to run, right? So a lot of quarterbacks in this league, they're just running to run, right? Pocket hasn't really broken down. They can manipulate the pocket and still have time to make, you know, to make a throw, but they just take off running because they don't have that feel. They don't have that pocket presence. They don't have the ability to manipulate the pocket, sit in there and make a play, right? When you look at Caleb Williams and look at what he did at USC, when he ran, it was because he had to run. There was absolutely nothing there, but he had the situational awareness to know, okay, it's 3rd and 5. There's nothing here. I've got to run. I've got to get these 5 yards to get a first down to extend this drive for us. And when you look at his athleticism, even Poles said, you know what, I wish he would have ran the 40 because I think he's much faster than what we would have thought. At the end of the day, right, from a former player standpoint, when I'm looking at our quarterback, look, I don't really care how fast he is in the 40, you know, as long as he plays fast. And that's something that you see, like, when he takes off, like, is he faster than Justin Fields? No. Not a lot of guys are at that quarterback position. Justin's a supremely talented athlete. So is Caleb Williams. But Justin's faster than Caleb Williams. But here's the thing. Caleb Williams, he picks his spots when he needs to run, and he's been effective with it. And not just running to slide. You saw, you know, some clips that they showed as well, and you saw some games from USC last year to where he would put his shoulder down, understanding the situation. Hey, I got to get one more yard. There's a defender in front of me. I can't slide because I'm a slide 1 yard short of a first down. I've got to lower my shoulder for my team and get this first down to extend this drive. So that's what I mean by having a feel for the game, understanding the situation, but also having the athleticism and the ability to create with his legs. And we see that over and over again from guys like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, you know what I'm saying? And I don't want Caleb Williams be jumping over people like Josh Allen. Like, Josh Allen's a one-of-a-kind guy. But you have a guy that can extend plays with his legs as well, despite what he can do in the pocket.
Yeah, Josh Allen, listen, I talked about how big Caleb Williams is. Like, you ain't Josh Allen, right? Josh Allen, he a different animal. He a linebacker back there playing quarterback.
You talk about Bryce, though. Like, seeing Bryce on the sideline last year. And I think I told you the story. Like, I'm walking up and down the sideline. I'm talking to, one of my former teammates, Musa Muhammad, who was doing some things with Carolina. Oops. We're sitting there on the sideline. Yeah, man. And I'm walking up the sideline, and I'm like, man, Moose, where's Bryce? I want to see, I want to see how big he is. Where's Bryce? And he's like, man, you just walked past him like five times. I thought he was a ball boy, and I'm not even trying to throw shade at him. I'm not trying to be funny, but I promise you, he's a tiny guy, man. I thought he was a ball boy.
You thought he was a ball boy in full uniform, dog? The ball boy got to wear a uniform?
No, he had – this is pregame. So he had the hoodie on.
This
is pregame. This is pregame. So he had the hoodie on. You know what I mean? He had on
sports.
You know what I'm saying? He had cleats on, but I'm not looking down at his feet. I'm walking and talking. So I'm telling you, I walked past him like three times. And Moose is like, you walked past him like three times already. I'm like, that's Bryce.
I thought he was a ball boy.
And the funny thing is, like, I snuck a picture of him with my phone because I was like, I had to show people how small this guy is. Like,
bro, what is he weight-wise? He's in the ones. He definitely ain't in the twos. Bryce Young, wait, let me see real quick.
He can sling that football though, but he's tiny, man. He's
205. Stop it.
I don't know if he's 205. He's tiny, man.
He might be two.
Height wise, I'm gonna say he's like 5'10". Honestly,
they got him listed as 5'10". They do have him listed as 5'10".
He's not taller than me, and I ain't 6'4", 6'5". He's not taller than me, and I can say that pound on my chest. He ain't taller than me. I'm way taller than him.
J-Man said, "I got somebody, man. I'm taller than him. I got somebody."
Looking down, and I was like, "You're Bryce Young, dude.
Hey, I tell you what, though, I know that feeling, dog, because being in this world now, right, when y'all had the alumni day, all y'all end up coming down. And I was there, right? The only person I was like, all right, I'm a little shorter than Thayer, right? Herb, I think, got me by an inch or two. Yeah, I mean, but I'm not one of the shorter people around there. Then all the NFL players come, all the former Bears walk in. I'm sitting here, what the f-?
Yeah, man.
Hey, man, what y'all doing? Get from behind me, dog. There's a lot of big people behind me. I feel uncomfortable right now. Henry Melton was there. Like, I'm like, there's a lot of 6'5", 6'6" mugs in here, man. Like,
yeah.
It's so funny, like, when you look at the difference between a Bryce Young and a Caleb Williams to me, because, right, like, coming in, I think that one situation is way better. Like, that's the biggest thing. But the traits to me are more recognizable between the two number one overall picks. The traits to me in Caleb Williams, and maybe it's because I'm more focused on his traits as a Bears fan. I'm hyper. I need to see, okay, how is this guy going to affect the field? But it's almost like, to me, when I see Caleb, I can see how he would have been successful in last year's team that we saw a ton of flaws with. Now, I do think the center position would have been a problem. I think that's a problem for any quarterback. Our center position last year was atrocious. I hope that it's better this season. But I can see, okay, this trait would have caused successes in this moment. This trait would have, right, like his ability to run here, his ability to keep his eyes down the field here, right, his ability to pinpoint a pass here, right, like those would have brought successes in moments where the team wasn't fully put together. And we don't have that team anymore.
Yeah, I think in this league, right, people just throw out the word accuracy, right? You throw it out when they talk about quarterback play, but it's really important. It's really, really important because NFL windows, passing windows, compared to college windows, is completely different, right?
Yeah.
In college, quarterbacks will have the time, right, to actually see a guy or see a receiver and then throw the ball to him, right? So I'm seeing him open. Right. In college, quarterbacks, they see guys open and then throw the ball. Right. In the NFL, you have to throw guys open, meaning if that receiver is running a 10 yard post or a 15 yard post. Right. You're throwing that ball. You're throwing him open. You're throwing that ball before he comes out of his break. You know what I'm saying? Because the window is so tight. It's so narrow. Like the margin of error is so slim. because defenses are so complex, defensive backs are really great athletes, right? The coverages are, the guys are running tight coverages, you know, it's really, you've got to be really accurate, because a lot of times when you're watching film, NFL film, a young rookie quarterback, like, you'll say, he's open, throw the ball, he's open. But that safety may be right here bearing down right. that receiver, but he's open. That window is open. Like, that window, it's small. It's a small window, but he's open. Whereas in college, the guys who, you know, don't tend to pan out, they've been seeing guys and then throwing the ball to them. They've been seeing them open instead of throwing them open. So that's a huge difference. And when you have a guy like on Caleb Williams' USC film, you see him throwing guys open, right?
Yeah.
Even though there's a big window there because it's college and the level of play is a little bit different, he's still throwing with anticipation, right? He's still throwing the ball before receivers get out of their breaks. He's throwing the ball to spots. You know what I'm saying? And that's what the NFL is. A lot of times you're throwing to a spot. And if you're watching an NFL film, you're like, well, damn, who's he throwing to? And then, boom, the receiver comes out of nowhere and catches that ball. You know what I'm saying? That's the type of feel and awareness that Caleb Williams has. And that's what Ryan Poles was talking about. He said, hey, when we evaluate guys, we want to make sure from a quarterback standpoint, is his game translatable to the pro level? Right. Yeah. And he says, we've seen a lot of this already in practice with Caleb. And I know it's practice, right? But at the same time, even though they're out there in shorts and stuff like that, like I talk about underwear Olympics right now in practice, but at the same time, you're going up against a really good defense. So he's making those type throws against one of the better defenses in the league last year in practice. I know they're not hitting, but he's still making those accurate throws, those throws with anticipation against a really good defense every single day in practice. And that's just going to speed up his development, because there's going to be defenses that he plays this year that's not better than the Bears defense.
Yeah.
So he's going to, it's, you know, he's going to have a better feel. He's going to get a better look in practice. And that was the same way with us when we played. Like, a lot of team defenses that we played, you know, we saw the best defense in the league. You know, we saw the best linebackers in the league. You know, we yeah. saw some of the best defensive linemen, the best corners in the league. So we were getting a really good look because we were going against our elite defense in practice every day. And that's what Caleb's doing as well.
No, yeah, it's really good to see how Caleb has been able to adjust to this defense back and forth as well. I think that's the part that's been fun to watch at OTAs and stuff like that, even though it is the underwear Olympics. It's like, you know, Caleb adjusted the defense, and then the defense is like, hold up, dog. You're not going to be throwing touchdowns on us. Let's turn it up a little bit more. And then you see Caleb struggle, and you see Caleb adjust back, right? Like, the fact that you can have that back and forth, right? I think that that's so important with the Bears. And one of the reasons why is somebody else that Ryan Poles actually ended up talking about. He talked about Rome Odunze, talked about how Rome Odunze, he believes, can be a complete wide receiver. The fact that he's got the release, the route running ability, the ability to separate and win that 50-50 ball. My question for you is this, J-Mac, because there's a lot of hype around Rome Odunze, but I think when you see him in practice and stuff like that, to this point, to me, he's living up to those moments. How do you set a pecking order in this league? Because I think that we may be in a situation where Rome Odunze may be a monster in training camp, and it's going to be tough if like you see that in practice every day, you see it in training camp, you see it when he's going through the motions, to say we can't get him the ball more. But you also have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen on this team.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think in this league, and you know, it could be any receiver's day. And the good thing that we have is we have, you know, three talented receivers. Obviously, Rome has all the potential in the world. And you look at DJ and Keenan, who has done high level things in this league for a long time. So it's a matter of what the defense is, who's the defense going to take away this Sunday or Monday or Thursday, whatever they were playing on, who they're taking away. And, you know, one game, it may be DJ's game. The next game may be Keenan's game. The next game may be Rome's game. You know what I mean? I think Rome, with so much attention on DJ and Keenan, because they've been veterans that have done in this league for a long time, you know, I think defensive coordinators are going to say, all right, we're going to see what Rome can do. You know what I mean? And they'll make adjustments based upon that. So, you know, I think Rome's going to have an opportunity to make a lot of plays just because of the attention that DJ will have. I think Keenan can have a great year as well, because when you look at his receiving core, defensive coordinators are going to say, okay, DJ's the number one. We got to take him out of the game. You know, we got to find a way to really limit Keenan. But then it leaves DJ, you know, it leaves not DJ, but it leaves Rome with opportunities, you know, if they take away those two guys. So it's just a matter of how the defense is going to play. How are you going to play this Bears offense week in and week out? And let's not forget, you've got two really good tight ends that can be effective in the passing game as well. And you have running backs that you can split out wide now in DeAndre Swift and Khalil Herbert. So, I mean, the Bears have a ton of weapons on offense. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, how Shane Waldron is going to put it together. You know, Jared Everett, Cole Kmet, those are two guys that can be effective in the passing game as well. So defensively, you can't take everything away, right? But you got to figure out, okay, who are we not going to let us beat Sunday? And I think when you look at this Bears offense, they're going to say, we're not going to let DJ Moore. We are not going to let DJ Moore beat us this Sunday. We've got to take him out of the game. And that creates opportunities for a Cole Kmet,
yeah,
you know, Romo Odunze. You know, if you know, a lot of guys, the backs will be, I think, involved in the passing game more this year as well. DeAndre Swift, Khalil Herbert, two guys that are real effective in the screen game as well. But you can also split them out and create mismatches with them on a linebacker, even a safety at times as well.
Yeah, it's going to be my biggest thing with how Rome is going to get into this offense to me is, like you said, he's going to be the guy that people are the least focused on. But I don't think it's going to be that way very long. And the player that comes to my mind is Puka Nacua, right? Everybody was leaving Puka alone for the first 2-3 weeks. And then all of a sudden it was like, hey, maybe we should guard this guy. Like he's really freaking good. Like he is torching us right now. But even when they adjusted, and I think that's my question on it, right? Even when they adjusted, if somebody's having that hot start to a season, because I think, right, it'll be early on. Like you said, if Roma Dunze hits the ground running, he's having a big first couple of games, and even though they adjust to him, how do you stop giving that guy the ball? I understand you got to take what the defense gives you, but at times, right, the fact that you got that 50-50 ball guy, the fact that you got that guy that's supposed to be, you know, he's the route runner that can go up and get it. Do you take those moments away and say, well, DJ's open, we're going to give it to him. Keenan's getting more looks, we're going to give it to him, and you're going to sit this week out? Like, I feel like that would affect some confidence a little bit, maybe just for me sitting on this side of it.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think when you look at DJ, you look at Keenan, you look at Rome's personalities, I think they're team guys. So at the end of the day, if DJ comes in week one and he has 10 catches, Keenan has 5 and Rome has 3, hey, we win the game. DJ got the most of the targets, but that's what's presented this day. Right. And, you know, I think with the versatility that Rome has, I think he's a guy that can play inside in the slot and outside. You can create opportunities for him. You know what I'm saying? So you can move him around and create opportunities for him, create ways to get him the ball. Same thing with Keenan. Same thing with DJ. All these guys, right? I mean, and it's great to say this. Like,
we've never been able to say this, though.
But I'm like so happy. I'm like dancing while I'm saying it. Like, we got DJ, we got Keenan.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's from an offensive coordinator standpoint, you know, I'm a head coach and I'm more of an offensive coach. Like, man, having like, man, all these guys, and I'm happy because this year we got a bunch of receivers too. So I'm kind of dealing with this problem, but at a lower level, high school level, a little different. We ain't got no, but we got guys that are talented. It's fun. It's fun devising schemes, right, and creating different formations and motions to right where now I can formationally I can get this guy open. You know, this route concept, I can scheme this guy open, right. And they all have ability to run the entire route tree and make plays. Whereas some receivers, I can only play him on the outside. Right. He can only give me 50-50 ball because he's a big guy. And all he can do is, you know, he's a taller guy. And all he can do, he can, you know, get that 50-50 ball. But he can't run the intermediate routes. Well, you have these guys that can do all of these things. So from an offensive coordinator standpoint, whatever route concept that you draw up, you can plug and put any one of these guys into any position, right? And they can run the entire route tree. So, you know, you may have a situation where you may have Keenan and Rome on the in the slot. Now that puts a lot of pressure on the defense because now it's, you know, DJ's on a nickel. You know, he's on, and if they don't sub, he could be on a linebacker. You see what I'm saying? So it's so much that this offense can do. And then having the type of quarterback that can, you know, make those plays, that can really break a defense because he can extend plays with his legs. And like we talked about earlier in this pod, being able to deliver that ball off platform, keeping his eyes downfield and finding one of these guys, it puts a lot of stress on the defense. It really does.
It's going to be like, I'm so excited to see how Shane Waldron is going to put all of these guys together. You know what I mean? Like we'd have this wealth of weapons now. You just look around and you're just like, bro, like this is an offense. I mean, we did have something similar to this with Jay when we had B. Marsh and Alshon, and they were both 1,000-yard receivers. I think Marty B's on that team, Forte's on that team. So you had something similar to this, not to say that we've never had it, but the fact that you have it now and it's so young. And it seems like it can be so consistent if you're able to hit in this first year. That's what I'm really excited about with all of this. And like you said, the fact that their team, it does seem like they're all team guys. If we come away with the win, we'll be fine in this. We're okay with whatever comes when, as long as we're winning at the end of the day. I guess, like, do you see you being on the field when you're dominating a defense? Do you also see moments where kind of like, I guess you're beating them so bad that all of a sudden opportunities are created because they're beaten. They know the game is over, right? Like, that's kind of what you hope for, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, like, in this league, you, like, guys aren't going to give up because their jobs are on the line each and every Sunday. You're evaluated all the time. But it's like it's so interesting when you see an offense that just has a defensive number. Like, no matter what their call is, your offensive play call is just better, or you always have an answer. Like, you always have an answer. You know what I mean? So when you're calling plays, your offense is playing at an elite level, you're going to be dictating to the defense, right? Mm. And I think this is this team, or this collection of weapons that we have, offensively, we can be dictators. I think last year we weren't really dictators. Like, defenses were, okay, they're bringing pressure. We can't do this. We can't do that. It was a matter of, you know, what we can't do. This year, it's like, if everything plays out, right, and Cam hadn't started yet, but just on paper, I think this is an offense on paper that has the talent to be dictators in this league to defenses offensively. And we'll see how it plays out. But I think the main thing is, you know, we go back to talking about this receiving core and this offense, you know, them being team guys. That's real important because, you know, in the past, you talked about B. Marshall and Alshon Jeffries and all them guys. And I wasn't in the locker room with those guys. Phenomenal receivers, had some great years here. But we know, you know, I've heard rumblings of, you know, B. Marsh didn't get a certain amount of targets in a game. You know, he was mad. You know what I'm saying? And he was the number one guy back then, you know. I think you have guys in this locker room that all they care about is winning. You know, they've been losing so much, haven't been to the playoffs in I don't know how many years. It's like, guys, like, who cares who gets the amount of catches? Let's just win games. And I think you have those type of personalities in the locker room. I think you have, you know, you have a quarterback in Caleb who, yeah, he may be closer to Rome Odunze because they've gone through this process together. But at the same time, like, I don't think he's going to say, okay, Rome's my boy. I'm giving him 8 targets. I don't really know DJ. I'm giving him 3. And Keenan, I just met you. You're only going to get 2 targets this game. No, yeah. Whoever's open, he's throwing the ball to. And you hear DJ and Keenan say it's going to be a race to 1,000. I like that inner room competition because now, like, look, we're competing against each other. We're making each other better. But at the same time, I think those guys have the personality traits to where if DJ gets 12 catches and Keenan only gets 5 targets, he's not going to go in a shell and be a cancer to the team.
Right.
That's what you need.
I love the term race to 1,000 because to me, like, when you look at a race, unless somebody gets hurt, everybody crosses the finish line. So it doesn't mean I'm getting it, you not getting it. It says race to 1,000. That means, hey, look, we both going to get 1,000, but who going to get there first? That's the part that I'm excited about with this. And it's why I love that he said a race to 1,000. When you talk about team dynamic, though, I want to ask you this. I remember Lance brought this up, and you guys were very big on team dynamic in your locker room, being a team first guy. And Lance brought this up on the pod one day and said that there was an opportunity for you guys to go out and get T.O., and that basically Lovie came to the team, came to Olin and all of you guys and was like, y'all want him in here? And because of what you had heard and because of what some people had seen in the league and stuff like that, y'all didn't want him to disrupt that. Do you remember that happening in y'all time there?
Yeah, honestly, don't remember that. But I know when we've had guys who have had dynamic personalities that have had me first personalities, you know, me over the team, it wouldn't work. And that's a testament to the leaders that we had, you know, in our locker room, the Olin Cruzes, The Brian Urlacher, Brian was more of a silent leader, more of led, he led by example, but you had like Reuben Brown, Mike Brown, you know what I'm saying? Guys who, you know, Thomas Jones, even back then, like you were never going to be bigger than the team. And if you came in the locker room with your chest out and it was all about you, we were going to let you know about it. We were really outspoken amongst each other. We held each other to a high standard of accountability.
Yeah.
And if you were thin skinned, you weren't going to make it, because we're going to let you know, like, hey, you need to do your job, or hey, it ain't about you in the media when you're doing your press conference. It's about us. You know what I'm saying? And that's when you have that type of culture and environment. But when you have that type of culture and environment, that's enforced by the players more so than the head coach. Like, that's a recipe for success. And, you know, I think with T.O.'s personality, you know, we saw his antics back, you know, during his day working out in his garage, in his driveway, and the media is all there, and you know, all the attention on him, it wouldn't have worked. You know, I don't think it would have worked. It'd have been a couple fights. You know, T.O. might have got jumped a little bit, and I'm a T.O. fan, but T.O. might have got his ass whooped in the locker room. I'm just gonna say that. To be honest, I love you, T.O., but I'm being honest. Like, yeah, and I know you've gotten some fights back in the day. You know, I heard some rumblings when you was in Philly. You got in some fights, but guess what? You wouldn't have been fighting. You might have been fighting a bunch of guys on the day.
Y'all jumping. Y'all not shooting the ones. Y'all go straight to jumping in the Bears locker room.
I was being honest. But that's the type of locker room that we had. It was all about us. It was all about the team.
I mean, listen, that's why it's interesting, because like you always hear, right? Like if he's in the right locker room, you can adjust to him. And I just wondered if like I remember hearing Lance say that and just being like, man, I'd love to see T.O. here. But the team being like, nah, bro, like it would have disrupted everything that we were trying to build. It was like we don't feel like dealing with the headache. And then it's somebody you gotta watch all the time.
Yeah.
Somebody you always gotta look over your shoulder. Yeah.
I would have loved to have him too, because I mean, obviously we know what he was as a player. He's a Hall of Famer for a reason. Hall of Fame. If he would have been, you know, more of a, I didn't play with T.O., so I can't say he wasn't a team guy in his career. I don't even want to put that out there, you know, put that on him or speak that into existence. I just feel like if he wasn't a team guy, then it wouldn't have worked in a locker room. But if he was, he would have helped us out tremendously.
Yeah. Listen, T.O., you can't never go wrong with T.O. I guess you can locker room wise, but to seeing the production on the field, he was a monster, bro. They was tweaking when they didn't put him in first ballot. They was like, oh, we didn't like him.
But it wasn't because of his stats. It was because
you know what I mean?
You know what I mean? Like, guys, like, just, I don't, man, I can't. That's a whole other pod right there.
Hey, we ain't gonna go down that path. Before we get out of here, I do want to talk about one more person that Ryan Poles talked about in his interview. You know who I'm going with here. The punt god himself. He called him rare. He said that he is a talent that you believe that he can always go out there and be able to get his job done, be able to pen teams inside of the five. He said he even called Matt Ryan and asked him, do you remember how it felt when you had to go 95 yards? So my question for you,
man,
with Torrey Taylor being added to this team, and listen, the Bears punted, what was it? Well, let me get the exact number here. I had it up. And now it is going. They punted 67 times last year. Trenton Gill was terrible. He was the worst punter in the NFL. I'm sorry. Like, I understand we drafted him. He was terrible. It is what it is. There are some teams that punted higher that had better offenses. So I'm not saying that offensive successes mean you're never going to punt, because the Texans were completely successful offensively last season, and they punted 80 times last year. So there may still be some punts. But how disheartening is it when you've got to go on the field and, you know, at a minimum, our goal in this is to get to the other side of the 50 so that our defense isn't in a bad situation?
Yeah, it's tough. And I think we had talked about this on another pod, too. And I actually had stats that I got from our guy, Doug Coletti, who does our stats for ESPN on our broadcast, on our radio broadcast for the games. And the percentages were crazy. Yeah, shout out to Doug. He's fantastic, man. The percentages were crazy. Like, Starting, backed up, like on your own five is, I mean, the chance, I think it was like less than 20% that you're even going to get a field goal. Or like, it was crazy. Like, I don't have the stats with me, but I know we talked about it, but it's tough, man. It really is. And when you have a weapon like that, in which, you know, like, teams are like, man, like, if he punts, there's a chance that field position is going to be terrible. And when you control the field position, you know, for majority of the game, it just increases your chances of being successful during that game. So having that weapon, having a guy with that ability to, one, to be able to change field position, but also be able to dictate field position, you know, from him doing his job, is going to be great. And that's why, you know, the Bears spent that fourth round pick on him, because, you know, Ryan Poe saw that as an opportunity to be able to, hey, we want to have control of field position. And now you have a guy in Torrey Taylor that's going to enable you to do that.
And I love what he said. He said, our expectation coming into this season is that we're going to be a top defense, that we're going to be a really good defense. And so because of that, you want to be able to control field position and have a defense on the field where, hey, listen, we're at the five. And I will say this. He also mentioned that there was a day and I was at OTA. I think y'all were there too. Well, maybe not. Maybe that wasn't the alumni day. I think it was after the alumni day. But there was a day where it was 25-mile-an-hour winds, legitimately. Mm-hmm. And Torrey punted the ball, and the ball landed at the five and went left, out of bounds. And then the next one, the ball landed at the one and went left, out of bounds. Listen, I wouldn't have drafted a punter. I'm on record saying that. I never would draft a punter. Mostly because I ain't gonna lie, the black dude that we got that's the backup is kind of cold as well. I hope he gets a job somewhere, because it's not gonna be here. But he's actually like, he's able to do a lot of similar things. He just don't kick it as far.
Yeah.
But Torrey can punt that thing, man. Like it's booming. Like it's impressive to see how pinpoint accurate he is. Now, granted, when nobody's trying to kill him.
But here's the thing, though. You brought up a good point. 25 mile per hour wind, right? What are you going to be kicking in the Soldier Field majority of the time? Besides,
a lot of wind.
It's a lot of wind. The funny thing is, right? It's always nice, right? Start the season off. Everybody's on the sideline in shorts, and then a month later, we're all on the sideline in coats and sweatpants and snow pants, and that's what he's going to be punting in. He's going to be punting in wind. You're going to be punting in rain. You're going to be punting in the Chicago mix, and I ain't talking about caramel and cheese. I'm talking about rain, sleet, and wind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm talking about Garrett's popcorn. I'm talking about Garrett's popcorn weather. Rain, sleet, mix, all of the Chicago mix of weather. You're going to be punting in that. You know what I mean? And to have a guy with that strong of a leg, you know, Ryan Poe said, you know, we can't just have a normal punter, right? We got to have a guy who's been punting in that. He went to Iowa. He's been punting in that his entire college career at Iowa. Yeah, he came from Australia. The weather's a lot different, but he played in the Big Ten, so he was punting in that type of weather. And that's the type of weather he's going to be facing at Soldier Field, especially as he gets later on in the season. So I got to have a guy that can pin people deep in the weather, in the elements. You know what I mean? I don't want a kicker that went to UCLA that can, okay, oh, he's got a leg, but he ain't kicking in the Chicago mix. like we talk about, Is it translatable? Torrey Taylor's punt game is translatable because he kicked in that type of mess in college.
Yeah. Hey, listen, he's going to be – listen, Trenton Gill was an NC State guy picked in the seventh round, and it did not work out. Apparently, he's the punter for the Broncos now, so that checks out.
I like Trenton. I'm glad he got a job.
Shout out to Trenton.
But we got Torrey. But shout out to
we got Torrey. my thing is 6'4", 231. How many fake punts are we gonna see with this guy? On the outside edge, he might be able to take one up.
Nah, man, them punters, they ain't got no technique in running the ball. He's gonna be running all high, and one of them defensive backs gonna saw him in half. Just punt the ball, Torrey. Coach Hightower, don't do it. Please don't do it. Don't hurt our punter.
You don't want to see him doing nothing else. You just want to see him punting the ball.
You better snap that ball to the personal protector and let him run with it. Don't let Torrey do anything. If be anything, let him throw it. Don't let him run. Just let him throw it.
He probably got an arm, too. 6 foot, 231. He probably got a cannon.
I hope we don't get in that situation. I mean, there'll be a situation where, you know, we're going to be itching to call a fake punt, but just make sure that he's not running it. Make sure he's throwing it, and if somebody is running it, make sure it's the personal protector. If not, punt it and pin him deep.
I love it, man. Hey, we appreciate y'all tuning in, as always, to the Chicago Bears podcast, man. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. We're almost there, Bears fans. Training camp starts in 16 days. We're almost there.
Man, I'm happy because I'm clapping and I'm happy. Like, I'm happy training camp's about to start because I don't have to go through it. Like, when you're a player, you used to be like, man, like, dude, like, you know what I mean? You're in Hawaii on vacation.
I got 16 more days.
Like, man, I got 3 days. You're in Hawaii. Like, man, 3 days from now, I'm being cleats. I'm going to have bunions. You know, I'm going to have calluses. My shoulder's going to hurt. My wrist's going to hurt. We got 2-a-days. Like, oh, man. You know, but
it's also a very different training camp now, J-Mac. Ain't no 2-a-days. Yeah, yeah.
Ain't no, I mean. Now training camp is like you're in Hawaii every day at training camp, so it don't even matter.
Hey, man, we appreciate y'all tuning in, showing love. As always, for Jason McKee, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.